آدمیه میشه این رکشن به این حالی خلکیه سرد این دلی مفقی آمیه این دلی مفقشن به این حالی خویشی انشه همیا به هیم آماتی and took notice of the fact that the Anshi Aliyah, the superior beings, are very few. In Elohim, if the superior beings add up to 1,000, Ani upni mihem, I, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, together with my son Reb Elezer, are among the thousands. In Meyohei, if the Anshi Aliyah, the superior Jews, are 100 in total, and me, Upni Mehem, in Asohei, if the superior Jews add up only to 10, then Ani upnim hem, im shnayim hem. If the Anshi Aliyah are only two in total, I and my son Eliezer are the two. What is the meaning of this mysterious saying? That has shown. It speaks of Gai Vechasishon. But Reb Shimon ben Yochai and the son of Eliezer were hidden in a cave for 7 years. They were hidden not only from the Roman authorities, but even from their own brethren. No one knew of their greatness. No one knew what they were involved in. For 7 years, without seeing the shine of the sun, they were engaged in writing the Zohar. Light. What kind of light? Spiritual light. Light that will reflect and reflect and diffract upon the whole Jewish people and indirectly on the whole world. Whenever I think of my brother Rabbi Sidber, Zichrono Livrache, I cannot help but to think of my father Rabbi Moshe, Zichrono Livrache. Because my brother Rabbi Sidber and my father Rabbi Moshe had one neshama, one soul, one mind, one heart. When the Yom Echadish Chidush Teire, the Yom Echadish together. I don't know of any parallel in the history of the Eretz Yisrael. The only one I can think of is Rav Akiva Eiger and the Tzvi Meiger. These two also, when the Yom Echadish Chidush Teire, it wasn't a monologue, it was a dialogue. As you see, whenever you look over a Chiddush of Rabbi Eiger, constantly mentioned, Upni Rav Shleime, when Rav Shleime writes it about the Torah, Obi Meiri, Rav Akiva Eiger. But there is one difference. Rav Shleime Eiger, Rav Akiva Eiger, had one neshama, one mind, one heart, but they were not hidden in the cave. Rabbi Yosheper and Rabbi Yishe, Zecheinom Mivroha, were hidden in the cave, hidden from everybody, hidden from their own Talmidim, the thousands of Talmidim they had. Rabbi Yishe and Rabbi Yosheper were Rosh Yeshivas, Yeshivas Rabbi Zekohono, since 1929 until 1993. But the two of them, will not feel you alone. Revealed, they try to hide, not to reveal their toll. And people say there is a tradition in Brisk not to publish Torah. It's true. But what is it? It's not there. It's a tradition in Brisk not to publish Torah. The tradition is grounded in the fact that they felt that the Zohar cannot be revealed the moment it is reflected. It has to go through a process, a threefold process, known in physics as reflection, refraction, and diffraction. What is reflection? Reflection, by definition, means whether it's in connection with waves of light or waves of sound. It means that the body emits waves that bounces back to the place from which it emanated. Rav Chaim Volozhin, as well as his father, the Bishal Levi, and his grandfather, Rabbi Tzalei, Rav Chaim Volozhin, so they task was a relatively simple task, to reflect the Torah. The Torah that was given at Sinai, to reflect it in all the corners of the earth. When my father, Ramesha, came to America in 1929, then he had a more difficult task. Reflection couldn't have been enough. Reflection is possible when there is one medium. In Volozhin, in Brisk, there was one medium for which the rays of the light of the Torah were able to penetrate. There was no necessity to have recourse to the process of reflection, which means the bending of the rays. When the rays of the sun have to change their direction from one medium into another, from the medium of pure air into the medium of water, of rain, then there is a bending of the rays, but no breaking off of the rays. But sometimes, when the rays of the sun have to penetrate through an opaque person, then bending is not enough. Then there is a law of nature that the rays of the sun have to manipulate, to penetrate, by breaking off into the spectrum of colors. This is the phenomenon of the rainbow. Eskasti nosati bon. That was the covenant. Every covenant was coupled with a symbol. What was the symbol that expressed the covenant between the Rebbeinu Shalom and the whole human race? Is the rainbow. When does a rainbow happen? When it starts raining, there is a flood, keep some point, no sun, then all of a sudden the sun comes out. Then the sun not only is required to change its medium, but it has to manipulate, to break off its newest and most various components called the spectrum of colors. And then we sing the Avelide, describing the King Godel, Kimare, Hashemesh, Bisihonon, Kimareke. That is the Mare of the King Godel. The King Godel was the spiritual leader of all Israel, and indirectly of all humanity. He was Mispalel for Kshomim, that economy. He was a Spalel for spiritual light for the whole Jewish people. How can you do it? You have to resort to the spectrum of colors. You have to break off into the numerous and multifarious ways. My father, Meshek, in the United States, he had to change the medium. In the Chaim days, in the Vishalevi days, in the Chiz days, in the Lefushina days, in the Bishavarojina days, in the Chaim Varojina days. So, the way to shed light was a very simple one, relatively speaking. All we had to do is to explain in Yoni HaTor. But when the Mesha came to the United States, he had to penetrate into students who were living in a different medium, in a medium of Torah and Chokhmah Ulah, Chokhmah Elam. It wasn't easy for my father, the Mesha, to explain concept of Shtoreth, concept of Akir Anochi. My father used to say, used to tell me, when I did the Shir on Rav Chazoke, it's so simple. I don't have to explain 10 times, but when I give a Shir on Akir Anochi, on Shtoreth, Eni Machsum Lashtar, Nasek Ishidakar, Edesh Edesh, that an ordinary piece of paper, it testifies everything. Everything is ignoring Shubis Pinchal. I have to explain it several times, and I have to prepare it. How to explain it? Because the students, Yeshivas Habsukohonon, who are raised in a different media, they can press concepts of stories of Akshinetzir HaNohan. You can grasp off Chazoki, Smekseg. That's a very simple thing. Every judge can understand that, but not the concept of stories. Well, my brother, Reb Shiber, became Rosh Hashivim in Yeshiva Sabzvahonon. So then in 1940, then he had the bigger challenge to penetrate Briskator into paid students, not Hasvisholem, criticizing them. They are paid because they were raised in an environment that is hostile to Torah. He had to resort to giving lectures in Jewish philosophy. In Jewish philosophy, in Chavis HaRovei, Shmir HaNevuchim, in Kuzari. So that was the most difficult challenge. But he fulfilled that function of disruption, of breaking off the rays of the Torah into its numerous components gloriously and successfully. And now I would like to mention certain tripping vayishas that is very relevant to my brother the Rishabah. In Bereishis on a Zion, the Torah says, V'Yisroel O'av Eshein Sehi Mikol Barof Kiven Shkunim Moloi Yisroel Yaakovinu loved his son Yosef more than any other children. Why? Because he was Ben Shkunim. What's the pshat in Ben Shkunim? So three pshat. One pshat is he was a son who was neilat at the old age of Yaakov Avinu. The other pshat is Shehoyo Ben Hakim. He was a very wise, smart son, in the sense of in Zokeya or Mishikon HaHama, that Yosef HaTzadik was Mikabel, the whole Torah that Yaakov received, learned in the Bismedrash of Sin Veila. We also like Sinus passage, and in order to symbolize Yaakov's preference to Yosef, he made him a striped shirt, Vayiro Echov, Kinesi Oav Oviv Mikol Echov. His brothers saw that Yaakov Avinu, the father, loved Yosef more than any one of them. Vayisno Yosef. In all the English translations, it is translated, they hated him. That's a very inaccurate translation. Even disliked him is a very inaccurate translation. In my opinion, Anishnoise means they resented him. Not that they hated him, Hasishal. Not that they disliked him, Hasishal. But they resented him because they loved him. And they wanted that Jesus should be one of them, but they felt that he was superior to them. Not because they didn't have that potential. They had the same potential as Yosef, but Yosef tried all the time to galvanize their potential. They didn't. So they are jealous. Jealousy is not grounded in hatred. Sometimes it is conducive to hatred. Jealousy is grounded in an inability, in not being ready, not an inability, to do what the other person does. The other person does his utmost to galvanize his potential, and they don't. So, Yahoo, they couldn't, they resented him so much, he couldn't even talk peaceably to him. Vayachlein Yosef Chalein, Yosef was a dreamer, and he dreamt a dream. Vayavit Leav, he didn't, this time, this dream, he didn't tell his father Yaakov. The second dream, he told his father Yaakov. Yosef dreamt two chaleines. One dream he was, So the brothers were standing in the field and they were binding sheaves. And of course, Yosef was also binding his sheaves. And then, all of a sudden, their sheaves started to encircle and walk around the sheaf of Yosef. And then they bowed down to Yosef's sheaf. That was one dream. The second dream was a more glorious dream, a more spiritual dream. Hashemesh Vayoreach, symbolizing Yaakov and Leah, heaven and the seven stars symbolizing the brothers of Joseph. Mm. And they are all bound down to Joseph attached. That was a very strange dream. That dream, he told his father Yaakov, and Yaakov rebuked him. But the other shavar had him. Yaakov felt he was convinced that this is not an ordinary dream, that Halim should be that they hold. But it's a prophetic dream that is destined to be fulfilled. So they resented him more, and they started to dislike him more. And he said, by Sadr Aloviv, the Lechov, by Yigal de Aviv, by Yim Alei, Ma Chalim Adi Ashkalant, Habein Alei, Anir Imcho, Zilachicho, Vishtach Aleich Lecho Arza, by Kano de Yalchif, Echov, Vishovish Samarth Adam. What did this dream symbolize? Another dream. Yaakov Avinu was also a dreamer, as it is mentioned in Nietzsche. He dreamt of a dream of the Shulamut of Arzo, the Reishim Adia Shomaimo. He led us to that on earth, on concrete ground, and its top reaches unto heaven. Yisra Tzadik dreamt two dreams, but the two dreams were really two component dreams of Yaakov's one dream. But Yaakov lived in a time when everyone he mingled with, that was before he arrived in Haran. So everyone he mingled with was convinced of the heritage of Avraham, of Yitzchak. So it was one dream was enough. He had a dream of a Sulam with a thousand of Eishim Adi Hashemayimu. But Yosef dreamt of the day when he'll go to Egypt and he'll become prime minister of trade in Egypt. Can you talk to them about Sulam Musafat of Reishim Adi Hashemayimo? They'll consider him crazy. Reishim Adi Hashemayimo, they had no concept of Shemayimo. They only had a concept of Arzo. So he had to analyze his father Yaakov's dream into two dreams. And the prime himself was criticized by many of the Bailey, who recognize that Reb Chaim's Torah is the Amidah Shel Torah, but they criticized him by saying, by calling him the chemiker, the chemist. Reb Chaim also discovers there are two halachas, two din. No, they felt there is always one din, not one halacha. They resented him. And the brothers of Joseph also resented Joseph because he dreamt two dreams. But in the days of Joseph, in the pagan world, in the Egypt, where everything, even the birds, absorb pagan melodies, Joseph had to dream two dreams. The same problem was with my brother Exuber. It's not his fault, and I'm not criticizing any bit at all. And then Rosh Hashiveh. But Shiodwa, that Rosh Hashiveh, the daily Torah in America, alienated themselves from Exuber. Why? What did Rosh Hashiveh do? He gave shiurim in Aloche, 5 hours, that no other Rosh Hashiveh ever did. Nothing more than that. But he also gave lectures in philosophy in desire it in the way of the Bible. That they could not do. They could not do it because they didn't know how to break the ways of the Torah into its various spectrum colors. So then they resented him to an extent that even there some of the Rishitor that they heard and they liked and they enjoyed and they realized it sheds light on certain sugyas in Shas. They mentioned it in a published form in the name of Rav Chaim, not in the name of my father, the Chaim Lvov. I'm not criticizing them. If I had been among them, I probably would behave the same way. But let me quote certain sukkim from my chiv of the broche that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon I'd like to conclude two statements. One statement, and I beg each and every one of you not to misunderstand me. I don't want, and I don't mean, to single out any child of my brother and sister. They're all the same. But everybody has his destiny. Just as Yosef had the tragic but fortunate destiny, as the Danish woman said to Yaakov Avinu, V'yosef Yosef Yodei Necha, Yosef your son will put his hand on your eyes before you die. That is his hope, that not everybody is there. I wasn't there, I don't. I was in Shamish, my father. I wasn't there that I should put my hands on the eyes of my father to find his heart 52 years ago. But Rabbi Yeshua, my father was there. And he was there with my father the last few moments. He woke up, and then he had to say the Birkas HaShachar. So he said to my brother, Bel, you're Bedir. You're Darzom, the Birkas HaShachar, the Chodesh Kodesh. So du vezom the Birkas HaShachar, Yisvasher, over my hand, pour water over my hands, and say to us, Shaka, Unicholem Samomen, Yicholem Samomen. So then, my brother did it. He filled up the cup of water, he poured it on his hands, he wiped his hands, and he made all the birkas Shaka. And then my father said to him, Daryl, through the long Seder, erstens, I do us me kind then. And Pasik of Yosef Yosef Lodei Alinah. Zweitens, will the Zogen as the Pasik Mach Bum Bittisacho Yisok Berlach. He explained, and then it was with his eyes. And what you meant was the Medrash Rabbe.
I saw many miles.
brothers looking at their deceased children with love and affection, but I never saw in my life a daughter looking with so much affection at the father who was lying on the floor, covered with a towel. And then I felt a certain jealousy towards Atara and towards Yitzchak, that they were zeiche to this tragic and fortunate truth. Then I want to tell, to repeat one more thing, that my brother mentioned in hashtag 52 years ago over my father in 1940. He said, when Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away, his son Rav Yitzchak, his Malachim Volozhiner, said to all the Talmidim Volozhiner, at that time Volozhiner had very few Talmidim, I don't think they had 100 Talmidim. So he said, Talmidim of Volozhiner, the Medrash Eicha tells us that when the Bishamidrash was destroyed and was in flames, so the Kirche Tune, the Yom Bnei Torah in the Bishamidrash, went up to the roof of the Bishamidrash, and they threw down the keys, and he said to the Rebbein Shalom, we don't need the keys anymore. Please, take it. And then a figurative hand came out from heaven and grabbed the keys. Aditya Rajna said, you think that it was to the credit of the Pirhipu? No, Hasifolim. It's in criticism of the Pirhipu. That was the biggest blunder that the Pirhipu made. If they hadn't thrown the keys into the fire, then, in short time, with the required effort, they will be able to rebuild the disabilities. Don't repeat that blunder. I'm telling now, told the Mitzvah, not only assembled here, but all the Mitzvah in the United States and Canada and in Israel, don't repeat that mistake. Don't smile. The keys of the Bishnidios Biad of Yeshiva Shavitz Mohanam, where Mishpachas Brisk had been penetrating Light of Torah since 1929. Don't throw the keys into the fire. Keep the keys and rebuild the gates of the Bishnidios Biad. Let us hope that we'll be destined to see the day of Dila Hamosonesa, Moha Yishamotu, Dimo Yalkovan.